Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Welcome to Simply Scottish, the half-hour show of music and features. I'm Andrew McDermott, your host. I appreciate you listening today. Drop me a note to tell me you're listening. Email me at podcast@simplyscottish.com. That's podcast@simplyscottish.com. Tune into other episodes of Simply Scottish on our website, simplyscottish.com. And be a part of our conversation on Scotland on our Facebook page, where you'll get show updates, trivia, and chances to win free Scottish music. That's at facebook.com/simplyscottish. This week, an interview with Brenda Chapman, the inspiration for and a director of Disney Pixar's Brave. Chapman shares with us where the idea for Brave came from and what it was like to bring it to the big screen. First, here's Scottish Gaelic singer Julie Fowlis, who had music on the trailer for Brave and two songs on the original soundtrack. This is a spirited piece from her 2007 album, Coolie.
And up it and get each and up it and nude, and up it and got the chnakari kakaloon, slid of me yog, smi fris the maloo, shag up me for now. Back you wash the hessy stun on your sword. A hummer get it the alux and then a get it alloy. Some net of a spirit, stooking a humble. Nach gag and get axe, nach chill and unhuan. And up and get it, and up and up and get it, nach a day, nach a wound, nur mommy long. Yeah, the fallest, the
You're listening to Simply Scottish. We recently caught up with artist and storyteller Brenda Chapman after a family trip to Scotland. Before that, she'd been busy helping to bring to life the story of Merida, a young princess in 10th century Scotland who upsets the balance in her parents' kingdom and is forced to find the bravery and wisdom to set things right. We're talking, of course, about Brave, the 2012 Disney Pixar animated film. The idea for Brave came from Chapman, who brought the story idea to Pixar and was the film's first director. Chapman talks to Simply Scottish about her Brave experience, as well as what led her into a career in animation and a few of the milestones she's reached so far. But thanks again for taking the time to talk with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
So your career in animation, I guess you could say it started with a gig as story trainee on Disney's The Little Mermaid. You've always had a love for drawing. What made you decide to pursue animation as a job?
Mainly because I wasn't sure what I was going to do. You know, when I was in high school, I was like, I know I want to be an artist, but, you know, I grew up in a rather low-income family, so I knew I wanted to try to make a living at it as opposed to just, you know, have a hobby, you know, and I thought it would be I'll end up drawing, you know, green beans for, you know, can labels or something, you know, but, you know, commercial art, that's what I thought that was.
Yeah.
But then, I was watching a film, an animated film in high school, and I actually stayed to see the credits, you know, just saw the credits and went, wait a minute, people work on these things. I love these things because I grew up watching the Warner Brothers, Bugs Bunny every day after school, and you know, Tex Avery and Disney cartoons, you know, growing up. So it just suddenly hit me. It's like, that's what I want to do. So I ended up contacting Disney to find out how to get into animation, and they told me about CalArts. And then I worked really hard to try and get into CalArts, and then from there I got into Disney, so it was fairly straightforward after I figured out what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Can you describe what it was like to work at Disney? What was your favorite project while there?
I got in and I was just one of the guys. You know, they took me under their wing as a story trainee, and you know, every once in a while someone say, aren't you the only woman in story? And, you know, it never crossed my mind because it never came up, you know, with my colleagues. I was just another story artist, which was great. And so, you know, I just trained a lot. So each project I have an affection for each project for different reasons.
Sure.
But I think my favorite one was Beauty and the Beast. I just really liked the chemistry on that project. It was a favorite fairy tale of mine when I was a little girl. And it just, you know, it held a magic to me. And she, you know, I thought Belle was really strong because she, you know, went out to save her father and was brave, and she sacrificed herself for her father. But then, you know, she was also able to see through, you know, and pull out something good out of someone who seemed to be bad but really wasn't.
Sure.
But then there's The Lion King, which was a real challenge and insanity, but yet somehow it all came out pretty darn good. Back at Disney, it was the good old-fashioned pencil to paper, that tactile, wonderful scribbly feeling. all of the work I did at Disney from 87 to 94 was all on paper.
I suppose no matter how high tech the technology gets, it still starts with an idea and with, you know, drafts on paper and sketching and drawing.
Yes, It does. It, you know, comes with an idea and a blank page, and either someone scribbling down words or scribbling down an image, you know, that's where it starts.
So with 1998's The Prince of Egypt, you became the first woman to direct an animated feature film for a major Hollywood studio. Now, I know you're not too big into titles, but that was a great milestone for you nevertheless. What was it like to be at the helm of such a big title?
It was great. You know, what was exciting was starting a new studio.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and what I had gone over there for was mainly just to be help start, you know, build a story department at DreamWorks. But, you know, Jeffrey and I had built up a relationship at Disney, and I think he trusted me and, you know, and had struggled to get other people to trust him to come over or just, you know, make that leap from a secure job at Disney to, to a dicey one at the new DreamWorks. But I was ready for a change, and so he put me at the helm. And I was reluctant because I thought, I don't know how to direct the rest of it. I can figure out the story, but, you know. But he had faith in me, and I really appreciated that. And then we brought on Amblimation, that whole company. And so I became partners with Simon Wells and Steve Hickner, who were great to work with. And it was a really good, it was a good team effort. And I really enjoyed my time on that a lot.
Well, and the result was critically acclaimed and loved by audiences all over the world as well. You joined Pixar in 2003. I'm sure that was a different environment for you. And I understand that you eventually brought the story of a Scottish fairy tale to their attention. So what made you decide that a story set in Scotland would make a great animated movie?
Well, you know, it evolved to that. I knew I wanted to do, it ended up being based on, like, boiling down to three loves of mine. One, first and foremost, is the love of my daughter, who was driving me crazy with her, you know, very high spirit and stubbornness and and all of that. She was just overtaking my life, and so that's basically all I could think about. But I wanted to translate that into something that I think people could watch and enjoy and learn something from, or, you know. And so I always loved to watch a fairy tale and get a message out of that.
Uh-huh.
But it seemed like all the old fairy tales that made it to film were about romantic love, you know, and always the prince to save the princess. And I just was really tired of that, and so wanted to turn that on its end. But, you know, at first, at the very beginning, I was just thinking generic Northern Europe, you know. But then on all the photographs I'd look at, and I was going back to old vacation photos of castles I'd visited in Scotland, and, you know, it just kept going towards Scotland, because I went there on vacation with my husband back in the 90s and fell in love with it. And, you know, it's part of my ancestry. I'm one of the great American mutts, but for some reason, my Scottish gene seems to cry out stronger than all my other ones.
It's funny how that is, huh?
Yeah. <isn't it? laughs> But so it just, you know, there was a point where we just said, you know what, forget it. It's Scotland. It's not, I'm not going to make it, you know, just this generic Northern Europe
place,
thing.
It's
Scotland. So, and we'll make it a mythical Scotland, because I don't want to get stuck in too much of accurate history telling and all of that. But nonetheless, let's give it all we've got for Scotland.
Right. So you didn't want to get pinned down with a particular story from Scotland's history. That was actually my next question. You know, it's the story of Merida's original. It's not something that you would find in a book of Scottish lore. And that was interesting for me to see. You know, I sort of assumed that the film would be a telling of some of the, you know, the ancient myths and legends. But no, you went and told an original story, and yet you still included the ancient standing stones and the, you know, legends like the Will-o'-the-Wisp and things like that, and yet it was still original. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, I also was trying not to go into a lot of, like, people would, you know, call the stereotypes of a American telling the Scottish story, you know, the little hats and the golf and all of that, you know, and too much about what's under the kilt, but, but yeah. You know, I know that snuck its way in there anyway, but I wanted to honor Scotland and, you know, sort of pay homage to it, but not make fun of it or satire it.
Right.
Much.
Now, did you have how much of a say did you have in the Scottish cast that was assembled? It really added to the authenticity to have quite a few Scottish actors involved with the project.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. I mean, I got everybody I wanted.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I originally had wanted Kelly MacDonald. They had already cast someone else for a while that, you know. When I started developing a female lead, that, you know, they already had someone in mind. They wanted to use John and the casting. But then, so, you know, it was like, darn it. But at the same time, that was a great actress, too, and I enjoyed working with her. But I was very pleased when Kelly MacDonald did step into the role, because that was my original vision. But I remembered Kevin McKidd from Trainspotting, and... I wrote the part for Billy Connolly. I don't know what I would have done if he said no.
Yeah.
Who else could do that, you know?
You're right. And it's hard to imagine anyone but somebody like Kelly MacDonald, you know, who just is Scottish, to be Merida, you know?
Yeah.
At the heart of the story.
Yeah. But she was brilliant. I was so pleased, you know, with her performance. And, you know, they were all wonderful, and they all seemed to be very pleased to be doing, you know, just a Scottish character, you know, for a Pixar film. You know, just Kevin McKidd, he was just beside himself. He was so happy, you know, because he tried to, you know, be diverse in his roles and not always just play Scottish characters, but he felt like he succeeded in that now in his career, so he could let loose and be himself.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Garden thought good throw and well on shadow and flowers the Lord. Then in Bionica hold is fair and shed it was let you
the tourism industry, you know, I've been following what they've been saying and doing about the movie, and you know, Visit Scotland just preparing such a large campaign, because since Braveheart, there hasn't really been a movie with such a large audience base that would, you know, pique people's curiosity about Scotland. But Brave did that. Was that one of your goals, to, you know, to let more people in on the magic of Scotland?
Yes. When we went on our research trips to Scotland, I mean, for me, I just wanted to share what it is, the magic of Scotland that I love so much. Just, I love the people and I love the landscape, and it just, there's just something about it that touches me. So I wanted to portray that as true as I could in the film. And our two guides, Ian Stewart and Bob Costello, were wonderful. And they had stories. You know, they were historians, you know, but storytellers. And, you know, so they were so great. And, you know, they were able to answer a lot of our questions. And I remember having a bit of a back and forth with Bob about there being bears in Scotland. He said, I know there aren't any more, but there used to be. No, there never were any bears in Scotland. And then finally we went to this museum. Oh, it was out, I can't remember exactly where it was, but it had sort of the natural history outlined on a board, and there were bears.
Oh, there you go.
There were bears. You know, they were small, though, but there were bears.
Yeah.
They weren't as big as ours, but ours were magic, so.
Sure. Well, as much as Brave captures Scotland's beauty and mystery, it's a human story at the heart of it. What's the takeaway for you, for audiences? What do you want the main takeaway to be?
You know, kids, your parents are humans and fallible too, and parents, your children are individuals and humans too, and listen to each other. You know, that seems to be, I wanted people to relate to what they were watching. I wanted them to relate to the mother, and I wanted them to relate to the child, and not make one or the other the bad guy. I wanted people to empathize with both, and I think we succeeded in that. It seems like the feedback we're getting, people, you know, did empathize with both, and take away, you know, just try to listen, take the time to listen to each other and get to know each other. Maybe you'll get along a little bit better, can appreciate each other that way.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to put each other in a specific box that you want them to be in.
Well, and it symbolizes all the strong-willed children out there and the parents that are doing their best to raise them.
Yep.
I know I brought my own daughter, we named her Caledonia, which is the ancient Roman name for Scotland. But she is two, going on three, and we brought her to the premiere up here in Seattle, and she loved it, you know, and I think she...
Oh, but the bears didn't scare her too much?
No, what we did was we read her the book, you know, the story book, the night before, just to kind of prep her on some of the themes that she would come across.
Uh-huh.
And I think she got it, you know, and she enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I get to use it now as a, you know, as a lesson for all the Scottish things I'd like to teach her, you know, about the land and and my history and stuff. But you just returned from a trip to Scotland. Was it a chance to take a breath, or were you still promoting the film and was it business?
It was. It started off. I went to the premiere in Edinburgh, and it was a trip for myself and my daughter. My husband was working, and my daughter had been wanting to go to Scotland with me, just the two of us, since I started the film and since she was 5 years old. She's 13 now.
Oh.
So what was lovely was that after the premiere, we got out of Edinburgh and we sort of toured the Highlands. And we went over to St. Andrews and then went up to Inverness and Loch Ness and then over to Skye. And we spent 2 weeks touring, and it was lovely. And it was a wonderful end to the whole time of, you know, the saga of making Brave.
Sure.
And she fell in love with it.
Yeah.
She absolutely fell in love with it. But it was the first time she'd ever been. And, Skye was, you know, she was just completely charmed by Skye. Although we had unusually sunny weather there that while we were there.
You?
So I'll have to take her back when it's truly the Misty Isle.
Yeah. So you did get a chance to see quite a bit of Scotland on that trip. That's great.
Yes, yeah, it's so beautiful. So I was really pleased that she liked it so much.
And, yeah.
Could understand why I loved it so much. So, you know, going all over the place, I saw a lot of things about Brave, but I'm thrilled if Brave really does up the tourism, you know. I think that will just make me so happy because, you know, as long as it's what Scotland wants, which it seems like they do, but, you know, maybe yeah. not everybody feels the same way, but I hope, you know, that people will understand what a beautiful country it is.
And anytime you put something on film, you know, there's always going to be somebody that says, oh, it's not realistic, it's not, you know, it's not a picture of a real place, but if all it does is pique people's curiosity, then it's done a job by itself, you know, not to mention the great story and film that it is, but, you know, it's just getting people curious, and that's why I throw my weight behind something like that, because, you know, you just can't go wrong, because it's raising awareness, and it's just getting people interested, you know.
Oh, good, yeah.
So after a short break, what are you going to be working on next, do you think?
Well, I'm actually currently consulting on a film up at Lucasfilm here in Marin County. Just dipping my toe in the water, just, you know, giving my 2 cents on a story that they're working on and helping them figure it out. So that's kind of fun. And I'm not at the helm or anything, which is fine. I'm taking it slow. My daughter is a little worried that I'm going back to work because she's been enjoying having me home.
I bet.
Which is a huge surprise to me, I have to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? You want me around? I thought you always wanted me to go away. So,
well, it's good that you're spending some quality time with her and enjoying each other's company.
Yeah. And I think it's just a comfort to know that I'm around. But I'm also writing a novel, and I'm working on a children's book, and I've been developing a couple of other movie ideas. But
well, you certainly deserve it with all the energies you've put into bringing Brave to the screen. And on behalf of Scots Everywhere, I do want to thank you for your part in that. And I'm just excited to continue helping to promote it. Well, thank you, Brenda, for your time. And I look forward to seeing what you have to do in the future.
Okay, thank you.
To learn more about Brenda Chapman's work, visit her website at www.brenda-chapman.com. That's it for this episode of Simply Scottish. Listen to other episodes online at simplyscottish.com. You can join our conversation on all things Scottish on our Facebook page, facebook.com/simplyscottish, or via our Twitter handle, @simplyscottish. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again soon for another Journey to Scotland on Simply Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content is copyright 2012, Simply Scottish Media. All music used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience on the web at www.simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.